Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 207, recorded on May 2nd, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good, because I'm not wearing pants. It's No Pants Day.
It is officially No Pants Day. I was just educated on that fact moments ago.
And I looked for me to announce photos. I'm not wearing pants is...
Nothing surprising.
No. Yeah, no surprise there at all.
What a shocker.
Yeah, but I guess the rest of the world is also not wearing pants today.
My people. Yeah. I haven't posted a picture of my pants laying on the floor on the internet today.
Oh, good. Just to prove. Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm warm.
It's warm.
We got the heat wave
here
happening
on the West Coast.
Yeah. Don't know why. Whatever. I guess I should not be wearing pants as well, but...
No, you shouldn't.
But I'm working right now, so I like to wear pants when I'm quote-unquote working.
You're so weird.
I know, it is strange, but...
This is probably why I don't get to work in group office settings anymore, isn't it?
I would say that's probably the main reason, yeah. Yep. So, WWDC is coming up. It's next month. We can officially say that because it is May. Although I feel like I wrote March on something yesterday. I can't remember what. But yeah, in a month from now, a month and some change, right? When's WWDC? Like the 6th or something?
Yeah, it's early in the month.
Early June, yeah. So we're expecting Mac OS 10, 10.10, 10.10.10. And iOS 8 and some cool, probably iOS related hardware. I guess we're expecting a lot of stuff. So that usually means that we're not going to see all the things we're expecting because we're definitely going to see iOS 8, 10.10, hopefully some Apple TV happenings. I guess we're not expecting iWatch or Apple TV now.
At WWDC?
Yeah.
I would have been really surprised if they announced those products at WWDC.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Probably no Apple TV either. Huh. Man, I almost am just going to go buy an Apple TV and then sell it when the next one comes out because I just... Actually, no. Didn't I tell you last week that I switched to DVD only Netflix?
To DVD only?
Yeah.
You're
so retro.
I know. They send me, my bill now comes on a piece of bark that's been etched by a bird.
Yeah, a little bird that does the sides to the camera every time it's writing.
Yeah. But
tell me at least they have drones delivering the DVDs.
God, that would be my dream. When I saw that Amazon drone thing, I almost melted in my seat. I was so happy at the thought of that. But no, it's delivered by Carrier Pigeon or something. But we're expecting software basically, right? Maybe some Mac updates.
No.
No, just software.
I'd be surprised to see any hardware updates.
Okay,
at
so just
WWDC.
Yeah, okay. So the idea is this is interesting. So according to 9to5 Mac, their sources are telling them that there's going to be a primary focus on 10.10. And of course, we are going to hear about iOS 8, but 10.10 is going to be a bigger deal this year, which kind of makes sense because it was hardly anything last year when iOS 7 was unveiled.
Yay for the efficiency of iMessage. Sorry, I got to butt in. I just got a message from you from 50 minutes ago.
Yeah? What did it say? Okay.
It was
something?
Asking about the sponsor.
Oh, that's funny.
Sorry.
Yeah. Were we talking about the fact that they changed the way they do FaceTime on this show, or was I listening to something else last week?
Yeah, we've talked about it in the past here.
The fact that they switched from
peer-to-peer. Came up in the context of the fact that iOS 6 customers are having to upgrade to iOS 7 if their device will support it to run FaceTime. And one of my theories is that it might have something to do with the fact that Apple now has to go through a central server because they lost a lawsuit and told the people that had the license for whatever technology they were, you know, to make a direct connection from device to device.
Yeah.
Just to shove it. Yeah. Like, we're not licensing from you. We'll pay out our fine and go do our own thing.
Yeah.
And I think you're right.
Yeah. So, I guess I'm hoping that we're going to get some more. I mean, Apple has said that regarding integrating OS X and iOS, that they're not going to go the dumb Microsoft way and try and make it one thing, because of course it doesn't make any sense. That's why the iPhone wasn't a Mac OS X interface when it came out. It would make just as much sense to make OS X into an iOS interface, because it's a different thing. I would like to see, they're talking about interface tweak things, that it's going to have sharper window corners, more defined icons, more white space, yada, yada, but include the multitasking stuff as it is currently, just essentially the same situation as we have now, just a different look. However, I'm expecting that we're going to see quite a bit more integration between the two. So, for example, I think it's absolutely insane that you can AirDrop stuff between iOS devices, but you can't AirDrop, even though they both machines have a thing called AirDrop. You can't AirDrop between them.
So many times
there's been I've wanted to just squirt something back and forth between my computer and my iOS device.
I will send you to your room without dinner.
But you know what I mean, right? I mean,
yeah,
photos.
You mean you're really not that hungry, are you?
I guess not. So, yeah, and then the other thing that they've kind of considered is that iOS 8, an initial release of iOS 8 may not include all announced features right off the bat, that we'll have to wait until iOS 8.1 to see all that, which is something that Apple has done in the past. I'm not sure if they've announced very specifically saying that. Well, no, I think they did last year. They said, here are some things. You'll see it later on beyond the initial release date of iOS 7. So that's not surprising.
Yeah, they did that.
Now, what are we looking forward to in iOS 8 besides the stupid health thingy?
I'm looking forward to a version of Touch ID that works good. I was fine with Touch ID. Then 7.7.1 came out. And now Touch ID kind of sucks for me.
Oh. I'm hoping for better Siri. Maybe some APIs for Siri.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be great.
I would love to be able to use Siri with other apps. I'd also like it if Apple gave us the ability to set alternate apps as our defaults, like for email and web browsing and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I mean, what do you use? Do you use OmniWeb on your phone? Some kind of private
wish.
Private app that only you and Ken Case use. So he just kind of gave you a thing.
Man, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, then all would be right in the world. But, I mean, yeah. I think a lot of people use alternate email apps, even though I think that the mail app on iOS is pretty darn good. It just doesn't work well because I use Gmail and I like the archive, the easy archive stuff. So I use Mailbox.
Yeah. See, it would be nice to be able to set Mailbox or another app.
Sure.
As your default email app.
Yeah.
And it would be easy to work around the problem of, well, what if I delete my mail app? Well, it doesn't matter because the apps Apple ships, they're just kind of baked into the OS. So if you delete the one app you were using, then it would just default back to Apple's app.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that tech is already baked into the OS. It's because it's there for OS 10. So it's probably in there. Wouldn't be hard to implement. It would just be a matter of how they would present that to the users. You don't want to confuse people. So yeah, health book is, I guess, essentially what we're expecting, and probably something to do with something that would imply Apple TV expanded functionality, I'm sure, would be included in some kind of part of the presentation. What do you think? Do you think we're going to hear anything about Apple TV abilities? You think there's going to be some presentations?
I think it's possible that they could announce something with respect to the Apple TV, specifically if, like, a lot of us are thinking, myself included, that they're going to bring apps to the Apple TV,
right,
in some capacity or fashion, that they might make an announcement just saying, hey, look, we're going to update, you know, with iOS 8, there's going to be a new version of the Apple TV software out to support apps, and here's the API stuff. So, you know, I think they're going to open up apps on the Apple TV. They're going to have to let developers know about it. So that would be one thing, timing-wise, that would make sense for them to announce. I'm not super warm on that that's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me, I guess is what I'm saying, if something like that went down.
And I would imagine that in that case, I don't think they would leave current Apple TV owners behind. I don't think it would be a situation where they would change the architecture so much that you would have to do a hardware upgrade to get any of the benefits. Maybe some of the benefits, but...
maybe like gaming, you'd have to have the new Apple TV.
Sure. Well, and either way, regardless of how they do it, I think that... they could then, you know, they could show some software off and just not talk about any hardware, and they can say, developers, you can get your beta version of the new Apple TV software where you can do apps and all that stuff, and put it on your Apple TV 3 and get cracking on developing. So that'd be pretty cool. So when we were at Macworld, I think there was a little bit of talk of, hey, we should, yeah, I think there is jokingly talking about checking out the new campus, checking out the pile of rubble that is going to eventually be the new campus in Cupertino.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, they are continuing to work on it because I guess they have most of their permits in line, and I guess one of the guys who's on the news team in Cupertino, he rides on their news chopper occasionally, and I guess they flew over the new campus site, and he took a photo. I don't know if you guys see that; it's in the notes here, and it'll be in the
show.
Yeah,
the crop circle image.
Yeah, it's a big crop circle. Essentially, it looks pretty cool. So they're working hard on that. Not much to say. It's just it's less of a crop circle and more of like a dirt circle.
I didn't say it was a healthy crop.
Yeah. So there is that. So one of the things about the iPhone 6 that I wasn't entirely clear on is the fact that in these mock-ups and supposed tech drawings of it, depicted having a protruding camera lens, and I think specifically in the giant version, right?
That's called an iPod Touch.
Right. Well, it's what the iPod Touch does, and that's, I've always thought that was kind of dumb for them to have that, but they do, and I was really hoping that they wouldn't do that in the current iPhone. Now, related to that, according to news from Weibo, they and ESM China analyst Sum Cheng Zhu, he thinks that they're going to move to do not optical image stabilization, but they're going to do electronic image stabilization. Now, the thing that struck me about this is I thought there was already optical image stabilization in the current iPhone. Am I wrong?
No, there's digital image stabilization.
Are you sure it's digital?
I thought so.
I thought it was optical.
I thought it was digital.
Okay. It sounds like I'm wrong, because both of you think that's the case. But, I mean, it's certainly more stable than... I have the 5, and I had the 4 before that. No, it's certainly more stable than the 4 was. So... But I guess it would be... electronic image stabilization, which I guess is different from digital. Do you guys know how that works?
What? I'm confused. You're saying electronic is different than digital?
I think it might be.
Okay.
But you think they have like a little gimbal in there that bounces the lens around and keeps it stable even when you're moving the phone?
Sure.
Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Huh.
Very well could be, I think.
I just want to point out that I used the term gimbal.
I did enjoy that you used gimbal. Okay, so ignoring that part, something that I think is very likely to happen is very Apple. He also presents the idea that we'll probably see bigger pixel size. And as we have been discussing in prior shows, at the same number of pixels, so the same megapixel, what are we at? Eight?
Right? Eight.
8 megapixels, probably stick to that, and we'll get bigger pixel size. So bigger pixels means more light, which means more quality. Quality over quantity.
I'm okay with that.
And that's how Apple rolls. You get better pictures that way.
Yeah, I've talked to several people with iPhone 5s that say they can see a clear difference in the images that I'm taking with my 5S compared to what they're taking.
Interesting. There's that. What else do we have here? Oh, there were some physical mock-ups that came out, which made me come down from my ledge of insanity where I wanted to buy the biggest iPhone possible.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of wanting the 5.5 or 5.7 inch, which, oh man, it just looks stupidly huge. I would be cool with the 4.7. Because I want it bigger, I just don't want it like too big, unwieldy big. But you know, I was thinking about it the other day. Why is it that everybody, it seems like the trend is everybody wants smaller tablets and bigger phones. And I think the issue comes from the fact that if you have a tablet and you have a phone, moving between the two devices, there's a weird difference between those two.
No, there isn't.
No. I mean, there is. If you're using your iPad for a little while and then you switch to your iPhone screen, at least for me, I'm immediately thinking, man, this screen is small on my phone because I'm just used to the bigger screen because I'd been using it for an hour or what have you. So I'm not sure that it really matters so much as people think that it does. I think it's an imagined problem. However, having a slightly bigger phone, I like the idea of having a bigger-ish phone, but not to the extreme where you're basically saying your phone and your tablet are the same size as like an iPad mini, which is what people jokingly kind of half want.
I don't even think it's that they half want. They do want it. It's sort of been proven at this point. That's the sad thing. I really think and maybe you and definitely Jeff, we are in the minority, apparently. As near as I can tell.
No, I mean, I think that I've encountered a lot of people. I've tried to ask as many non-techies in my walk.
But how old? Age factors into this big time, too.
All over the place. So people my age in like, I don't know, middle-aged and that sort of thing, there are a lot of people who say, I don't want anything bigger than either the 3.5 inch or the 4 inch.
See, I think old people and the youngins want the giant, gigantic phones.
How old are we talking? Like 60, 70?
50 plus, yeah.
People not using technology anymore.
Yeah. People with fading eyesight, mainly.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess
I don't know about the newfangled things. I can't see it. It's too
tiny. Get off my yard. Lawn.
Yard lawn.
I'm clearly not old enough yet to be able to.
Yeah, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Do skateboards upset you?
I fall off of them.
Okay. So you're not doing it right yet. You're not old enough. If you're trying to get on a skateboard, you're not doing it old style yet.
Yet.
So
I also don't wear black socks with sandals.
Yet.
I have a long way to go, don't I?
I guess you do. But yeah, have you guys seen these mock-ups? I'm not sure. I mean, they say that some of them are based on real machine schematics, and you know, who knows if these schematics are what?
They look like 3D print.
Oh yeah, they're totally 3D print nonsense. I mean,
yeah, but
at the very least,
more accurately, they look to me like someone mocked something up so they could 3D print it, and that it isn't actually
not based
on Apple's designs.
Sure. Well, it's based on our speculation about what the general size will be. So I'm not sure we can take too much from this other than just what the size is. And it gives us a little bit better idea, although everybody's hands are different sizes. So
yeah, what it really gives us is a sense of how excited people are for the next iPhone.
This is true. Ultimately, it could be a bunch of nonsense. And Apple, I'm sure, loves it because they're like, hey, another idiot made a fake iPhone and everybody's writing and talking about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they love that.
They do love that. So before we continue on with the stuff that we have to talk about this show, we have to talk about our new sponsor this week for this month is Harry's at harrys.com, HARRYS.com.
That's an awesome URL, by the way.
It is.
An aside.
It is. It really is. I wonder how they got that.
They must have had it for forever.
Something. Someone must have had it forever.
Yeah.
So, Harry's, if you have not heard about them, which you might not have, and that's why they're doing this ad, of course, they simply do shaving stuff for guys. And by that, I mean they do blades, handles, and creams. That's it. But they do it really well. They have high quality stuff, but it's not only high quality and like no frills kind of nonsensey stuff, but they also do it cheaper than, you know, like the Gillettes and all that stuff in the stores. I stopped shaving a long time ago, half because like it's expensive. It's extremely, like, stupidly expensive in the store, and half because, I don't know, I just wanted to grow it out and see what happened. But, you know, you have that experience of going to the store. I always notice the people who need to buy blades in the store because they have to, they go up to the register and they either have, like, a little card of what they want, or they have to say, you know, I want that one. And the person has to walk over to the big cabinet because these things are, like, worth the amount of, you know, their weight in gold or something like that. So they have to be locked into a cabinet. It's a really irritating experience. And of course, so people may be shifting to buying their stuff online, but you still have some expense with these less disposable, you know, the non-disposable handle style blades. So what Harry's does is they do all their stuff really well. So they have their own factory where they build all this stuff, and it's actually German engineered, which I like because I'm a Volkswagen guy. So whenever someone says German engineered, I perk up. But it's like I said, the blades are half the price, and so they have their let's see here, they have the Truman set, which is their baseline. You get a tube of shaving cream, you get the blade, and you get two, I should say the blade handle, and then you get three blade cartridges. Now, each of the cartridges have five blades, so you get that super silky, nice shave with the first stroke. And actually, the Truman set comes in a bunch of different colors. You can get like a nice orange, a blue, a white, or a green. And they also have a fancier version of the Truman set for $20, which is has some slightly different colors. You can also get the Winston set, which is fancy, and that's the one that they sent me. And this thing, I mean, all of their handles are ergonomically built. They're kind of, you know, old school. There's, like I said, no frills. I mean, the last time I looked at those like Gillette blades, I think I bought one that had a AAA battery in it, and so it would vibrate when you shave your face with this like 6-blade monstrosity. it was ridiculous. And I think it probably cost me like $40. $30-$40 in the store to get this
Ouch.
Thing. Yeah, because, you know, it comes with some blades, and it's expensive. And it didn't come with any cream, so you had to buy the shave. I think it was shave gel is what I got. But yeah, so the way you do it is you buy one of these, and I should say off the bat, there's a special coupon code for all We Have Communicators listeners. So when you check out, you get $5 off if you use the code WHC at checkout for your when you buy your set. And then they have a bunch of different plans. You can buy your blades individually. You can say, hey, I got to go buy some, I got to get some new blades, and do it ad hoc. And you can get, it's the minimum, or the most expensive the blade cartridges are, is $2 per cartridges, or per cartridge, I should say. But that's if you do, you know, you get a 4-pack, and so it's $8 for a 4-pack. But you can go up, you can do, you know, 8-pack is only $15, 12-pack, $20, 16-pack is $25. Or the coolest thing you can do is do the shave plans. So they have the Everyday Shaver, which gives you 8 blades with 2 creams every 2 months. Occasional shave, you do 8 blades, 2 creams every 4 months, or you can do 8 blades, 2 creams every 6 months. So they have all those set up for you if you want to enroll in the plan, which is nice. You don't have to think about it every time new stuff shows up. You can just swap out and go. Or you can even build your own plan, which is totally cool. So you can say, you know, send me like, I don't know, 8 blades and 2 creams every 6 months, or, you know, change the amount of creams from 0 to 4 and blade cartridges from 0 to 16. And it's inexpensive. It gives you a really, really good shave. I know that Dave Hamilton has been using that as his primary razor for the last little bit of time, and he has nothing but excellent things to say about it. Of course, like I said, I don't shave my face, so this isn't great for me right now, but I know from trusted people that this thing delivers an exceptional shave, and I can definitely tell by the quality. It has a nice weight to it, so it feels really nice. And of course, like I said, it has 5 blades. They're German engineered. They have special shapes on them. So I shouldn't keep talking anymore, but it's done by the guys who, one of the guys who opened it, one of the co-founders, did Warby Parker, the awesome sunglass company. But yeah, so you know it's high quality, good stuff, and it's inexpensive as well. So check them out at harrys.com.
What's the coupon code again?
It's WHC, and you get $5 off no matter which one, which set you go with. And you can even do, I forgot, the engraved Winston set, which I think gives you a fancy case. So it's the Winston blade, but you also get the case and an engraved handle as well. So check them out. They're awesome. Harrys.com. Coupon code WHC. For an awesome shave from Harry's.
It's just at WHC?
WHC.
Nice. I might be signing up.
For We Have Communicators. Yeah, check it out, man. With that, what are we talking about now? We got some more rumors, I'm sure. That's all we're talking about these days, because nothing's come out. Apple's come out with like nothing this year, right? Except for updated iPad, or not iPad, MacBook Airs, right?
So far.
Yeah, so basically nothing. Well, according to China Times, they say that Apple has been producing small quantities of the iWatch. And I guess that they're... they also say that it's going to take advantage of system-in-package design for some of the chips to bring all the whatever sensors they're going to be using together into one thing, which of course makes sense because that's what Apple's been doing already.
Yeah, and there's been talk about that for a while.
Sure.
So it would be surprising if they weren't doing that.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. So my curiosity with this idea is, does Apple typically do small runs beforehand? And if so, is that for testing purposes? So they have like line produced items, and then they can let their engineers test with those, or what?
that's typical and not just for Apple.
Sure.
A standard procedure before you get into a serious product production, you do some short run tests, and the runs may not include the same procedures for manufacturing, or even the same parts. So they can do short runs to get an idea of where they might have problems with their mass production, and then once they've accomplish whatever it is that they need to with that, then they start ramping up their heavy duty production.
Yeah, so they're looking at a prospective launch during the second half of 2014, which I guess is what we've been hearing for quite some time now. And I guess it makes sense if they're going to be doing that in the second half, they got to get their testing done, whatever those tests may be. They got to get them done before they ramp up for their high production.
Right. Yeah, and the stuff that they would do in their short runs may not ever make it to shelves. It might just be stuff that they produce. It comes back to their labs and shows up on eBay in like 10 years when someone sneaks something out.
Yeah. Yeah, those things are fun. I like when those early production models of iPhones and all that show up on eBay. Those are pretty cool to look at. And of course, they sell for a buttload of money when they do sell. Sometimes they don't, because Apple gets irritated.
Yeah, they're uptight like that.
I know. Such a bummer. What do you guys think about the earpods with biometric sensors rumor that's floating around?
Well, earpods with the biometric sensor thing. Apple has a patent.
They've had it for a while.
At least a patent application. And there's also a company that's been doing a Kickstarter to make something like that, which was happening before news of Apple's patent came out. And I think it's actually a really cool idea.
Yeah. Yeah, and they actually, I think it was either the same day, let me see here, same day or a little bit after. Yeah, same day, another story came out about how they're hiring an MIT researcher with expertise in ear-worn vital signs monitors.
Isn't it funny how all of these pieces are just coming out?
Yeah, it is funny. Are you implying that it may be some kind of deception?
No, just that it's funny that all of this information comes out and a rumor will happen and then someone else will find data that backs it up. Like, oh, Apple will hire this guy that's doing exactly what the rumor says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, let me see what this says. Apple's new EarPods will have sensors in them for heart rate and blood pressure. Also eye beacons so they don't get lost. They will require the Lightning port. It's why the audio jack was moved to the bottom. It stores the data in a similar way to thumbprint point data, fully encrypted and nothing identifiable, but nice to send to your doctor and keep track of at which point your blood pressure, blah, blah, blah. So this was posted to Secret. We have not talked about anything coming from Secret yet. But it's an interesting source of information, and I don't know that it would make much
sense.
Secret's
hit and miss.
It is hit and miss. You got to find other information to back up these claims that you find on Secret, which is why we're talking about it, because they do have several patents for this kind of technology, albeit they are old. However, there is that story about the MIT researcher as well, so I think that it's worth mentioning.
Sure. Now, okay, there's one thing that was on Secret about the whole ear sensors and all that, where it's like, someone's got this totally wrong. And it was that Apple needed to run a wire from the earpiece to your Lightning port on your iPhone. And I'm like, really? No. Fakety fake, 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 fake.
So your thing Apple's, is fully
Apple's
Bluetooth.
Going to be wireless.
I hope so. I love wireless.
And they also said, and that's why the headphone jack has to move to the bottom.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. The reason the headphone
Apple
jack...
Apple moved the headphone jack to the bottom a while ago.
And Yeah, the reason for that
was more to do with space of where they wanted to put components than anything else.
Well, right. I also thought that it made sense just simply because that's how you put your phone in your pocket. That's how most people do it. They put it down in that direction, and you know, you don't want your headphone cable pointing down when you're, you know, crimping your wire and that kind of thing. So, what do you guys think about the new notification policy for whenever Apple or Microsoft or Facebook or Google gets a request from law enforcement for data on somebody? So basically, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, and Google are all updating their policies to expand routine notification of users about government data seizures, unless specifically gagged by a judge or other legal authority, officials of all four companies said.
Good for them.
I think that is good.
Absolutely good for them. Yeah, unless there is a very compelling reason why the person that is being targeted should not know, then they should know. And if there's a very compelling reason why they shouldn't know, then the request for data needs to come through a search warrant. And as part of that warrant, it needs to include a court order saying that no one can talk about it.
Yep. And that's, I think, how it's being set up, correct?
Yep.
So cool. Works for me. I'm happy about it. I haven't gotten any notifications yet. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, now that the policies have changed, maybe you will.
Yeah, who knows? All right. So, do you guys want to talk about the iPhone and iPad growth or anti-growth? I guess the iPad has the year-over-year growth has gone down. It's negative 16.1% year-over-year. And what was? We didn't get a number on growth from last year in this chart. This is from IDC.
I think the big thing people need to remember is that diminishing growth is not the same thing as diminishing sales.
Right.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are equating those to be the same thing.
But they are. If it's negative.
No.
Well, first quarter 2013 shipments.
If you're growing less than you did the prior year, you're now showing a negative growth. But you can still be growing.
True.
Yeah, but this number was the number that was cited that's down 16% was sales, right?
Yeah, I believe so. So if you look at first quarter 2013 shipments, it was 19.5. I believe that's millions. And
but it was thrown off too, just so you know.
And then this year it's 16.4.
Yeah, but it was thrown way off though too.
Yeah, in what way?
Because in last year's quarter they had a bunch of iPad sales that were delayed. So in that prior year, because they didn't have the was it the mini with the Retina display that was supply constrained.
Mm.
So those should have been like 20. Am I getting this right? 12 sales,
yeah,
for that quarter, and they ended up being in 2013. Those sales ended up being in 2013, and they didn't have that in 20. They didn't have that kind of scenario in 2014. So there was no supply constraints in 2014. So they were just selling, you know, what they had throughout the year.
Yeah.
So you're not really comparing apples to apples. So yes, the sales numbers were down, but that doesn't, like, I think probably getting back to what Jeff is saying, that doesn't really equate to demand being down necessarily or that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, their current market share is 32.5% and Samsung's is 22.3%. So they're still leading the tablet market share. And honestly, I feel like the viewpoint of people on tablets that aren't iPads is still that anything that isn't an iPad is sort of an iPad ripoff.
The other thing is, I mean, the other or interesting thing iPad. Is the usage numbers are still way, way slanted. especially in North America. So I forget whose numbers they were. Was it ChangeWave, Jeff, one of those places that did usage numbers? And the iPad was still showing like 70%+ of web traffic for U.S. and Canada. I think these numbers were the latest numbers.
And I don't remember which analytics company it was. Yeah. That
and it was like that, Samsung tablets were at like 8% or 9%.
You know, if they did a study of growth of tablets sitting in drawers, Samsung would rock the crap out of that.
That's just it. I think that's really the case, because I know people who have Samsung or other non-Apple tablets, because they'll ask me. I get people ask me all the time, you know, what tablet should I get, and what's the advantage of Apple versus like an Android tablet? And we'll have the conversation, and almost inevitably, they'll end up still buying the Android tablet.
Because it's cheaper, right?
Yeah. And then I'll see them a few months later. It's like, do you use that tablet? Oh, no, it's kind of on the shelf, or I don't remember where it is, or no, I haven't even charged it. I think the battery's dead. You know?
Yeah. How about
that? And I've never had that experience when you talk to someone who has an iPad. They're like, I use it all the time. I use it for this and this and this and this and this and this. Oh, have you seen this game? And have you, you know, like there's a general excitement about, and I don't, and all I can chalk it up to is it's got to be experience and the quality of apps is the only thing I can think of. Either that, or maybe the people that are buying Samsung tablets just weren't meant to be tablet people in to begin with.
Yeah, that could very well be.
Which is why they go for the cheaper tablet, because they're like, I don't really know if I want this thing, so I don't want to drop the bucks on an iPad.
Right.
I'll just get, you know, so it's almost like they're testing the waters and they don't want to spend a lot of money, which that makes sense too.
Sure.
You know, and then there's the whole other segment. It's just the nerd guys. The people I do know that have non-iPad tablets and love them are the guys that want to be able to hack and tweak and do everything that they want with their tablets, and they absolutely love their Galaxy or their Nexus or whatever tablet they ended up buying.
Well, see, that's
a
the
very
right
small
market.
Percentage, but that's a very small percentage of the users.
Yeah, it's everybody a small percentage, but it's the right market for that device.
Yeah, the people who I know who are consumers buy non iPad tablets and then tend to use them for a little bit and then not use them ever again.
Well, those people, by and large, I think are looking for, lack of a better term, a poor man's iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting what they pay for, and then they're disappointed because it wasn't an iPad.
And I just want to mention, I'm not coming from that place, there from a place of one is, you know, that I necessarily feel that everybody should have an iPad. But in talking to people about, you know, I usually try to start with usage, and a lot of times people are going, well, I don't want to spend a lot of money and I just want to surf the web and check email. And I will very often tell them, well, then, yeah, you're going to be fine with an Android tablet. You know, it's going to be able to do those things very capably. And if you don't want to spend the money, then don't. But then right. I explain about the app ecosystem and some of the, you know, other benefits of the iPad. And it's like, you got to make your choice.
Yeah, it usually is a situation where the primary interest in a tablet is one or two pretty basic things, but the difference comes when someone either picks an Android tablet or an iPad, and when they pick the iPad, more often than not, their horizons and what they do with the device often expands to quite a bit more than just email and web browsing, because they find out all about all the different capabilities built into the thing.
And you know what? This now is starting to play in. I never realized, don't know why I never made this connection before, went through this thought process, but I think these are the same kinds of people that I told you about earlier that I said, you know, want the bigger screen phones. And I think now what's likely happening is they're getting a tablet thinking they're going to do the same things that they're already doing on their smartphone, checking email and surfing the web.
Right.
And then realizing that now I have this tablet that I bought and all I use it for is this, but I already have my phone for that, so it's not enhancing my experience. So they're not getting into, like we do with our iPads, into using it as a gaming system or watching movies, or, you know, like my iPad is very much a consumption device, and also you know, something that I use for doing creation. I mean, I take notes on it. I use it for other things. So they're going in looking for an experience that they've already got a solution for, right? And about the only complaint with their phone is probably that the screen's too small. So that's why I think you're seeing that they want a tablet that's a phone and a phone that's more like a tablet. And if they can have that one device, then that solves the problem for them. So they're better off. They probably would be better off rather than looking at, you know, getting a 7-inch tablet. It's like, well, why don't you just get a big giant phone? And then you can surf the web and do your email on one thing.
Yeah.
Because that's really what you want. If that's all you're going to use it for, there's really no point in having a tablet. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a perfect example of where a single device, maybe with a little bit bigger screen, is the right answer.
Yeah, and then that's why I think they get the tablet and then realize that now I've got this extra thing I got to carry around, and then they put it on a shelf and forget about it.
Yep. Yeah, sounds good to me. So, yeah, I guess that's all there is to talk about, unless you have something else to bring up. I think it's time for picks. Ready for picks? Pick, pick, pick.
Picky, pick, pick. Yep.
All right.
Pick.
Let it rip, Adam.
So I am going with a game that I have fallen in love with. I think it's awesome and it's totally fun. I wish I had more time to play it, but I'm playing it here and there, and it's called Leo's Fortune. And it is gorgeous. That was the first thing that kind of drew me to it. It showed up as like a featured game of the week, I think, on the App Store. And I was saying on the British Tech Network on the Mac show that normally I don't like to pick those because I'd like to, you know, kind of point out more independent developers. But I think this is from an indie developer. It looks to be the first title that they've put out. And if this is the first thing that they've ever put on the App Store, it is amazing. So it's a little platformer, you know, like side-scrolling kind of thing. And you play this little character, Leo, who has had his fortune, his gold, basically stolen away from him. And he's trying to figure out which one of he thinks it's his relatives, it seems like, in the storyline. I haven't gotten too deep into the storyline.
So dysfunctional family.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you side-scroll, kind of roll him or slide him through these beautiful environments. And you're picking up little gold coins and trying to avoid obstacles. And he can blow himself up, so he kind of floats over canyons and stuff like that, or he can kind of shrink himself down to interact with objects and stuff like that. And the game mechanics are really a lot of fun. And like I said, the artwork is great. And plus, he's got a mustache, right? So I think he's kind of got a little Russian-style accent, too, I think, or Russian or Eastern European. But I'm having a lot of fun playing it. And what I love about it is it's a $5 game, $4.99, no in-app purchase, no ads, just buy the game, enjoy it. About the only thing I'm noticing is if you're really good at this kind of, you know, these kinds of games where you have to, you know, like jump across and avoid obstacles and jump from platform to platform and stuff like that, it may not be challenging enough for you. For me, it's very challenging in certain areas, and luckily they make it so you don't have to keep going back to like all the way back to the start of a level when you do that, because to me that gets frustrating. But I am kind of progressing through it pretty quickly. I think it's got 24 levels, and I'm probably about halfway, and I've maybe played a total of maybe 2-3 hours tops. So I can tell it's probably going to be over quickly, but it's also very, very fun. And again, it's only $5. I think it's well worth the $5. So hopefully they'll do a sequel or add more levels at some point. But the artwork and the design is just beautiful, and the cutscenes, and I can't say enough about it. I'm really, really impressed. So it's called Leo's Fortune. Leo'sFortune.com is the website. They have a game trailer, and it's $4.99.
Cool. So, Jeff, what's your pick?
My pick, it's very possible I did this a long time ago. Okay. And if I did, well, sorry, I don't remember what I ate for lunch. So, you know. Anyhow, we were all lamenting the limitations of AirDrop earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go with Desk Connect.
Oh, yeah, I think you have picked this, but I have not tried it yet.
I'll give it a shot. It's actually really slick. So it's an application that goes on your iPad or iPhone, and then there's a companion app that goes on your Mac. And then you can just send files back and forth between your devices very easily. And so on your Mac, there's a menu bar item, and then just the app on your iOS devices. If other people have Desk Connect installed, then you can send files back and forth between anyone, really. It's easy to use. It's really slick. And you can target specific devices when you're sending files around. So it's not just this blanket, here comes the file thing. And I don't remember what it costs. I think it's actually free.
It is free.
There you go. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I should try that. I've had that
Give
on
it a
my
shot.
Radar
It's pretty
for a while.
Slick.
Yeah, for some reason I thought it was related to a piece of hardware.
Well, only in that you need to have an iPhone or an iPad.
I thought it was related to like a Seagate product. Maybe that's
no.
something
else. Well, based on the logo, yeah. I can see why you would think that.
Is that a Seagate kind of looking logo?
It kind of has that feel to it.
Okay. All right, yeah. Works for me.
So Seagate might have that technology in their drive too.
Yeah, that might also be
Oh, that's true. Possible.
They might have branded something with the same kind of brand name.
Yeah. Hey, I just realized tomorrow is May 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
That's Free Comic Day.
Yes, it's Free Comic Book Day tomorrow.
Go to your local comic shop, show them some support, pick up a free comic or two, and then if you find some title that you think is really neat, pick up an issue, you know, a couple bucks.
I really feel like I'm not going to do that, but okay.
What?
No, you just go. Just go.
Jeff.
Okay. Yes.
So related to that, is there a title that's out right now that someone who just wanted to start getting into comics should actually look at?
Oh, man.
I know it's a tough question to put you on the spot with, but I know like one that was recommended to me a few years ago. And I picked it up, and I think it was actually on sale recently on Marvel's app. It was a title called Runaways.
Oh, Runaways. That was a fun series. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I picked up the first, they do like volumes. So, you know, I have like the first book, which is I think the first 8 or 12 issues or something like that, you know, hardbound in a book that I picked up.
So. Yeah. You know, okay, for someone that wants to try out comics just to get a taste of what they are outside of the superhero genre,
mm-hmm.
there's a series that I started reading a while ago called East of West. And it's like a post-apocalyptic cowboy sort of thing. And it's like... Revelations, Bible revelation sort of thing. So the four horsemen of the apocalypse sort of thing happening. But it's just this fascinating series. It's done really well. It's definitely not for kids. The Hawkeye series from Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Hawkeye is a character that I have never been able to get into. Because I just thought it was always very poorly done. But there's a new Hawkeye series out that is really cool. It's very well done. It's really interesting stories. It shows Hawkeye as more of a human character, which he should be, as opposed to the guy the Avengers let tag along just because he has a bow and arrow. So, yeah, so that's a good one.
Cool.
And then for people that are looking for a new kind of edgy but fun series that's clearly for adults, there's a series called Sex Criminals. And I've just started reading that. And it's about people that find that they have special powers related to when they have sex and the way that they can use or abuse those powers. And I won't say anything else about it, because if you're going to go read it and get into it, I don't want to spoil the surprise for you.
Okay.
But that one's definitely for grownups.
Cool. So yeah, tomorrow, May 3rd, is Free Comic Day. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Free Comic Book Day.
Okay, fair enough. So my pick this week is, it's going to be a book. Because I just got into an awesome book that was recommended to me by a listener of the show, Mr. Rocket Skip, who works for NASA. It's The Martian. It's $10.
Oh, I've heard that's a fantastic book.
Yeah. It's I'm like a quarter of the way through it, and I got it like yesterday. It's excellent. So it's about the third human mission to Mars. And during that mission, very early on, the one of the guys was presumed dead, and so they had to abort the mission for because of a windstorm. And so they got out of there pretty quick, and they were going to be there for 30 days. They were there for 6. Turns out the guy is not dead, and now he's stranded on Mars with all their equipment that they had for that mission. And it's really cool. It's fairly technical. They talk about how he repurposes things to his own purposes, I guess. He does a lot of really interesting things, including taking like an RTG and using that for heat. Do you know what an RTG is? It's a radioisotope thermoelectric generator. It's what the Curiosity uses. I believe it's plutonium as it decays, it generates heat, and they use the heat to create electricity for Curiosity and in other probes and that sort of thing. So he uses one of those for actual heat, which is kind of insane, but awesome.
Yeah.
And, he does a lot of really cool stuff. It's really neat. It's not just his one side of the story where he's on Mars doing different things to help himself stay alive. It's also you get on the Earth side of how they're trying to how they discover that he is still alive and what they plan on doing to rescue him, because the to get to Mars from Earth is takes quite a bit of time.
It is a non-trivial task.
Yes. So, yeah, check it out. If you're at all into space stuff, if you're a little bit more technical, you'll just eat it up, because, I mean, it's the guy's an engineer in the book, and he, repurposes a lot of things. And I guess the guy who wrote it has an engineering background, so he knows what he's talking about. So when he's saying that he does something to do something else, it's based on facts and not just pulling stuff out of thin air. So it's $10
cool.
On the iBookstore, and I think it might be a little bit more expensive if you buy it paperback or something on Amazon. So yeah, $10 on the iBookstore. Check it out. It's called The Martian. Very good book. I'll probably have it finished by the time we talk again next week. So with that, you can see all of the picks in the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Review the show in iTunes or just give it a little rating. It always helps. Tell a friend. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is how you email us. Questions, comments, concerns, all that stuff. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. And of course, we again want to thank Harry's this month, and I believe next month they're sponsoring the show. So check them out, harrys.com, and use coupon code.
I just signed
code.
Up, so I'll let you know how it goes.
Cool. Yeah,
awesome.
That'll be good. Use coupon code WHC for $5 off your order. And you can find Jeff at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at jgamut on Twitter. He's Jeff on Appler, so you can get appler.com/Jeff. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
Of course. It's always, I was going to say, a kick in the pants in a good way, but it's no pants day. So it's always a blast.
It's a blast. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter. And I believe you are MacCast on Appler as well.
Yeah, I am. Check it out. They've got a bunch of new stuff that I've picked up recently. It was hard for me to pick this week because I have a few things that I've been checking out. The other one, did I mention I've been playing Hearthstone, the Warcraft trading card game kind of like game?
No.
I'm totally hooked on that.
But
it's fun.
I have a friend in, who recently brought it up to me. He's like, oh, have you been playing that game? And I'm like, no, I have not heard of that. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, it's pretty popular right now. And so
any of our listeners are playing, you know, get me on Twitter and we'll swap. I forget what they call them because it's done through Blizzard's network. So you have like the little Blizzard ID or whatever it is. BattleNet ID. We can share BattleNet IDs and I'll challenge you on Heroes of Warcraft. Although I'll have to admit most of the people that are probably in our audience are going to be way better than me. So it's just going to be them punishing me in the game. That's how it'll go down.
This looks pretty geeky.
It is. You know, I've played trading card games and I did like Magic way back in the day. And I have to say it's mechanics wise, it seems to be much simpler, although I guess it can get as complex as you want. But the learning curve to like ramp up with it isn't too bad. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, the only card game I like that I've ever played is Pokemon.
Yeah, it'd be in the same vein. Anymore.
But cool. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. I'm /Michael on Appler. So you can check out all my apps. And so it's Appler is, of course, getappler, getappler.com. And with that, we'll talk to you next time on We Have Communicators.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck.